This is believer's baptism. We baptize people when they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that they've taken a personal step. It's not something decided for them by someone else. They have decided to follow Jesus. And baptism doesn't make a person a Christian. You know, we're not saying to Matt after he's baptized, you're now a Christian, or to Laura, you're now a Christian. People are baptized because they've become Christians. There's nothing magical in the water. This is just ordinary water from the tap. We could have made a cup of tea with it, but we've filled the baptistry with it today. There's nothing magic in the water, but there is something supernatural in the power of the Lord Jesus to change a life, and that's what we are celebrating through the waters of baptism. So I'm going to ask first Laura and then Matt to come and share their stories. You're going to go first? Okay, fair enough. Ladies first. See, they're different people. Come on up.
I've attended this church with my family for the last 20 years. Although I've always called myself a Christian, I would only say I've taken my faith seriously in varying degrees for the last 8 years, and only come to call myself a committed follower of Jesus for the last 5 or so. It's taken me longer than I would have liked to have decided to be baptized. This has been for several big reasons that I've been working through on my Christian journey. The first of which was because I believed that being baptized was only about declaring to the world that I'm now a follower of Jesus. And of course, in many ways it is. But I was afraid because I believed it meant I would literally have to go around telling everyone I knew, or more importantly, all the people that I was afraid would question or judge me, that I was a Christian. And if I did not live this out, then my baptism and my faith would be false and a lie. To me, this was also a very difficult thing, because although I knew most people knew I was a Christian, a lot of people only took that to mean, oh, I go to church and come from a Christian family. And to be honest, I preferred to just let people believe that, so they wouldn't question me about it. Because if I wasn't serious about my faith, they wouldn't ask me serious questions about it either, or at least that's what I thought. I also believed that making this distinction would then mean I'd have to be ready to answer every question that was asked of me about the Bible, God, Jesus, life, death, the universe, and everything in between, or at the very least have a strong biblical opinion on it. I was also afraid that I would not be able to answer all these questions and would look like a hypocrite for declaring that I was a follower of someone or something I did not even fully understand. Part of what has helped me move past this line of thought is a Bible study that I watched about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15-16, in which Peter writes, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." He does not say, be prepared to defend the Bible in its entirety in every single thing that Jesus did or said from a modern-day standpoint. This text is one of the most important parts of the Bible to me, and is a large part of the reason why I'm staying before you today, explaining the reason for the faith that I have. The faith that I have is that there was a man that lived roughly 2,000 years ago that was fully God and fully man, that performed incredible signs and miracles, and in the end was nailed to a cross, died for my sins, and rose from the dead 3 days later, exactly as he said he would, and that although I do not deserve it, I am saved, not through good works, but through his grace. Which perfectly leads on to another one of the big tripping points for me in my faith. I always struggled with defining what it is that I actually believe, because it was all well and good to say what I've just said, because I know it's the right answer to the question of what does a Christian believe. But am I just saying the right words and not truly meaning it? This is something that I think I've struggled with more because I grew up in the church, because the correct answers have been imprinted in my mind from when I was a child. So it's sometimes hard to disconnect from that and say what it is I actually believe in my heart, rather than just repeating what I know I should be feeling. I sometimes still struggle with this, and it's been something that has held me back in the past of my Christian faith, but I've come to realize that few people are blessed enough to be absolutely 100% certain in their faith, day after day, and never have any doubts, no matter what comes their way. And that even if my faith does ever falter, God will always be there to help me come straight back to him. I also do not believe that Jesus wants me to just take it on faith or his word alone that he was the Son of God. As far as I'm aware, when Jesus said, "I'm the Son of God," and people did not believe him, he never responded by saying, "Just have faith" or "Just believe." No, Jesus performed miracles and signs. And as John wrote in John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31, Jesus did many miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus performed many signs, but John chose only the most important and reliable ones so that we may have faith, not just be told he was the Son of God and just believe it because he says so. And so this is the reason for the hope that I have. I have faith in Jesus, not just because I was told or read that he is the Son of God and just accepted it, but because I believe the real and reliable testimonies of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Peter, Paul, and many others, and all the modern-day testimonies that I've heard. And through what I've experienced in sin in my life, I know what is written about Jesus and is true and is good news.
Amen. Andrew's going to pray for Matt.
Dear Lord, we thank you for Matthew and that he is your child. We thank you that you gave your son for his life so that he might have life and have it to the fullest. We thank you for the way that Matthew has been raised in this church, and the way that he has thought deeply and wrestled with the faith and come out on the other side saying, "Yes, I believe. This is the reason for the hope that I have, that Christ has died, that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again so that I might have new life." We praise your name for new life in Matthew, and we ask that you bless him for the rest of his days. We thank you for your son. Amen.
Amen. And a verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. Okay, so come on down. Laura.
As John's already said, we're quite different, and our testimonies are quite different as well, as you'll find out. And height difference. Thanks, John. So when I decided it was the right time to be baptised, there wasn't a standout moment that I could pin on when I became a Christian. I've been very fortunate to have been brought up in a Christian family who are very committed to this church and their faith. There have been many moments in my journey that have kept me on the right path, and here are just a few. Growing up, I had many opportunities to go on ventures camps. These were camps involving lots of young Christians meeting together, playing games, as well as being taught from the Bible and what it means for us. This was a large part of my journey, and I found it very helpful to spend time around other Christians and learn more about Christianity. And funnily enough, that camp that I went to for years actually starts today, so it's quite a nice tie-in. This was shown to me again last year, how much the Ventures camps have been part of my journey. When Mark and Linda asked me to help out the young children's camp in East Grinstead, where I'd been going myself, the first answer that popped into my head was no. But soon after, I knew God was telling me that this was something that he wanted me to do and that I should not run away from it. It ended up being great fun and was so wonderful seeing young people having such a strong faith and being able to help them out, explore their faith, and help them to explore their faith further, just like me when I was at that camp. The church has also been a great support in my faith, and I regard this church as family. I have many friends here, and imagine spending a long time at this church. It is through the church's encouragement in my faith and the prayers for me across many years that have helped me with my Christian journey. I've been very blessed to have also met my husband-to-be, because he wanted a shout-out. In this church, and look forward to growing in our faith and love for God together. Finally, as many of you know, I've been an active member in this church's youth work for many years now. This is not only because I think it's important for others to know more about Christianity, but because it also helps me to strengthen my own faith and learn more. When watching a video by Louis Giglio, he made it very clear to me as to why I was doing that. I do not do these things so that God will love me or so that I will get to heaven, but because Jesus died for us and came back to take away our sins. The song that I picked, Reckless Love, I picked because the words mean so much to me, and I love the line that says, "Oh, he chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. It's so amazing that no matter what, God loves me and will never leave me." Thank you.
So, verse for you, Laura. Well done. "For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Father God, we would thank you for Laura. We thank you that you have been at work in her life from the moment of her conception. We thank you that your hand has been upon her, that you have revealed your love and your character to her. And Father, we thank you that she's responded to you, responded with faith and confidence and obedience in return. Father God, we thank you for that song that she chose, a reminder that you have given everything that she might know you and experience your freedom. Father God, we thank you for Laura's personality. We thank you that she isn't too forward. She doesn't jump into things just like that. She sometimes steps back, sometimes wonders whether it should be the thing that she's going to do, but then she thinks it through and comes with great commitment to serve you. We thank you for that aspect of her character. We pray that you'll continue to develop that as she grows in you. We thank you for this step today of publicly declaring her confidence in you in the waters of baptism. We know that standing up front and speaking out is not the natural environment for Laura. We know that being the centre of attention is not what she craves. Father God, we so thank you, though, that she is standing in this place today, because it's an evidence that you love her and she loves you. Father, we would pray that in the act of baptism, you will very powerfully confirm that love in her heart and life and grant her fresh freedom to know you and to live for you. Father God, we pray for her as she completes her studies and training. We pray, Father, for your guidance in her life together with David, her life of following you as a servant of Jesus. Richly bless her and keep her, protect her from all harm, and keep her faithful in heart, soul, mind, and strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you.